Hey everyone, I'm Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I'm here with Stasha. Stasha, really appreciate you taking the time to chat today.
Thank you. Me too. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad we got everything lined up, and I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about you, about your background, what you're working in. I've been keeping an eye on you online on Facebook, really cool content. But for the listeners out there, could you start by telling us a little bit more about you and what you do?
Thank you. Well, my name is Stasha. As we just talked about, Stasha, if you're Russian or come anywhere near Russia. So I was born and raised in Russia until I was 13 years old. And then my mom and I, we moved to Denmark. So now I'm living in Denmark for 15 years now. And I do basically email marketing. This is primarily what I do. Sometimes I also do some other digital marketing because I think it's fun and also like the whole based process of it. But email marketing is what I do best of all, I guess.
Awesome. Can you tell us kind of how you got there? Did you start there? Did you transition there?
So basically when I was done with my university time, done with my master's, I went ahead and I stalked one of the digital marketing people down here where I live and basically stalked him until he gave me an internship, like an unpaid internship. Right. I was super annoying, but I did that, and this is how I got into digital marketing.
And how did you make that decision? Like, how were you so set on stalking this guy down to get that internship?
Honestly, I think it just kind of happened. I saw one of their ads or something like that, like Facebook ads, while I was writing my thesis. And I saved their page somewhere in Google Chrome as bookmarked it. And then when I was done, I randomly found it. So I think kind of it was the sign from the universe, I guess. It was super random, and I hit them up, and he was, because they're super busy, they're still very, very busy. We still have really good connection. We work in the same office space actually for now. But yeah, they were super busy. So I was writing to him every single day with emails, updating, saying, do you need anything more from me? When do I start? Mm-hmm. And in the end, I guess he got so tired of me that he ended up having me an internship for 1 or 2 months, I guess. So, yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit more about that, because my last guest, Sergey, on episode 12, we talked about how to use tools like LinkedIn to kind of, I don't want to say bug employers, but get the intention of employers if you're looking for jobs. How did you go about, were you literally emailing the guy every single day? Was that what it was?
Because at that point, I'm not even sure I had LinkedIn profile. I mean, I was ever like super, super green in terms of digital marketing. I did not know anything. I thought I knew a couple of things. I did not know anything. Right. Because unfortunately, at the university, you don't learn it. So that's really sad, because it depends on what professors that are teaching at the university, what they want to teach in. And if nobody wants to teach digital marketing, then you simply cannot give that education to people, which kind of weird, right? In the, you know, like when you start a study marketing, or I studied international communication, international business communication, and being out of the university and not even knowing how to create a content plan for Facebook, for example.
Yeah,
just crazy.
We could go on for hours about where the universities are kind of missing out on those opportunities. So that's really cool. So you end up getting an unpaid internship. How did that go?
And that went super well. They kind of threw me into like doing things from out of the blue. I did not get a lot of training. So I think also for people who want to learn, you need to. So you get guidance, right? But nobody's going to hold your hand if it's a good internship place, because guess what? People are busy.
Right.
So they were like, yeah, there were some times where I would not know what to do, and he would spend, I guess, 10 to 15 minutes explaining it to me, and then I just did it and got feedback.
Right. And was this digital marketing in general, or were you specifically into email marketing at this point, or you hadn't found that?
No, I did not do. I think what I did that was closest thing to email marketing, I did one freebie for their client, like one lead magnet for their client.
Right.
That's
right.
Like one thing I got to do.
Okay,
before
so,
that.
So yeah. Take us from the paid internship to where you got to now. It sounds like there might have been some interesting stuff in the middle there. How did that transition happen?
Yeah, so it was unpaid, by the way. Unpaid internship.
Right.
Yes, so afterwards I took some courses, like a 6-week course, I guess, on digital marketing in a like local course provider place. We have them here in Denmark. And afterwards, I was so lucky, right after that, I got hired in another digital agency where, to my surprise, it was me, my boss, and a student worker who was there part-time. So basically, again, I was thrown into figuring things out by myself, because the things I got hired to do, my boss did not know how to do them very well.
Right.
So yeah, I ended up doing basically learning everything from scratch. And I really liked email marketing from the course. Like, I liked the idea of it, how it works from the course, actual 6-week course I took on digital marketing. It was an intensive. And I really liked it, and we had a couple of clients, and also creating emails for the agency itself. And I really liked that, because I actually had people emailing me back on those emails saying, I really like them. So that was like a huge boost for me, thinking, oh my gosh, the content I create, people are actually reading it, and they're actually think it's good, and it's helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is how I got into it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So really just based off of the 6-week course, where I'm assuming only a small part of it was spent on email marketing.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah. So has it just kind of come naturally to you, or did you start off really bad and you just kind of figured out on your own how to slowly make them better, or how did you cultivate that skill?
Yeah, good question. I believe I haven't looked at the emails I've created then. I believe they were not as good. Well, hopefully they were not as good as the ones I'm creating now.
Right.
But I focused, like really focused on the value and the client journey. So thinking all the time, and I think that really helped me. And I think this is where, going back to the university time, this is where what I really got out of the university. I learned how to think how the client thinks, how to think customer journey.
Right.
So I might have not known all the tools, but I knew the groundwork for that and how to like start this whole process. So this is where like I basically thought of, what do our clients know and what journey do they need to take? Because this is the great thing about email marketing, which I like, I guess, the most, is because you can structure it to deliver the information based on the client journey. You cannot really do that as well on social media unless you're doing ads, right?
Right.
So you cannot say that I want this person first to see this post, and then the day after to see this post, and then the day after to see this post. That's not like... So basically, when you do it on social media, when you do content on social media, you usually do it in a way that everybody's seeing this post, hopefully if you're lucky, 10% or like 20%, some like portion of your audience sees this one post and they all see it at the same time. So this is why I really like email, because you can structure it much better. And so one person A can see this type of content right now, while person B is seeing the other type of content that is more relevant to them and where they are in their journey.
Right. That's such a great point. And I've read a little bit in the last couple months there's so many guru, you know, quote unquote gurus out there right now, and obviously, and so much content. And I've read a decent amount of discussion on kind of email marketing versus social media marketing, kind of like what's better? Are you better off running ads? Are you better off building your list? Obviously, you're a little biased, but it sounds like you have some really good reasons to be biased. What do you think about that argument, so to speak?
I don't think I'm biased at all, because what I'm going to say is both are really, really important. Right. I mean, you cannot, if you have a really solid list of a couple of thousand people, yes, you can still have a really good business. But let's face it, nobody starts there. You need to build it up some way. And the way you build your list is social media. The way you build your list is ads. So you, otherwise, it's really difficult for you to build your list, right?
Right. So there's kind of a place for both of them, and they work together.
Exactly. And the best launches I did for my clients are the ones where we both use social media and the email marketing, and sometimes even also ads combined. So basically, you need all three if you want to have a successful, like if you want to, you can have a successful launch either by social media or on your list if you have a strong list. But if you combine these things, you get more exposure, you get contacted, you kind of reach more people.
Right.
And you reach them multiple times. So meaning you have better chances of people buying from you.
Right. Yeah, that's a great answer. That's a good answer. So Stasha, I want to go back to where we were in the story. So you're at a very small agency now. You said one other guy and a student, and you're starting to do more and more email stuff. You really like the email stuff. What happens next? How do you get to where you are now?
Yeah. So one day I got to the office and I was blabbering about all our clients, the project, and what we're going to do next, and sitting there doing my work, and my boss kind of asked to talk to me about it, and I thought it was just about this project, right? Mm-hmm. And so we sat down, and he told me that he was closing the agency. So he had to let me go because he closed the agency. The thing is, before that, I was actually was kind of daydreaming of opening my own at some point, but that was not the right time. It didn't felt like the right time because we were planning a wedding, so I needed a consistent stream of income to actually be able to pay for a wedding, right?
Right.
So yeah, that was kind of a bad timing, a year before a wedding, and we postponed it already with 1 year, so it was kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
And so did you just take the leap right then and there? You just decided to go it on your own?
Yeah, I decided to do it on my own also because we are living in a smaller town in Denmark. So it's not like it's super, super easy to find a job. And I was thinking, so if I take half a year finding a job, then finding a job being there for half a year again, and then having to quit because I want to start by myself. So right. I basically just said, you know what, let's do it now. I know my plans were something else, but this is just like, this is life happening. Right. So we have to adjust to whatever is going on. And my boss was so nice. He said, whatever you need, I'll help you. If you want to find a new job, I'll help you with that. If you want to start your own business, let's see what clients you can actually take from here. Because he actually just decided to just actually close the business and take on a normal 9-to-5 job because of his family.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. So this is usually my favorite part in most people's stories. Can you take us through like the first 6 months of, or even shorter, even like the first 3 months of kind of how you got started, what you did? Did it take a while to get clients? Did some of those old clients hop on board right away? Would love to hear some more details.
Yeah, so the thing is, it was not possible for me to take over the clients anyways because the company was, because of some logistical stuff, I was not only allowed to buy them, and at the time I did not have the resources to buy those clients.
Right.
There are some laws in here in Denmark in terms of what's happening there. And right. So the thing is, I was I think I did this one mistake that every single entrepreneur makes, and that every single entrepreneur after half a year or a year realizes, oh my gosh, this was like stupid. And that's basically trying to get everyone as your client, trying to do everything for everyone. And I honestly think, and now I also try to be present in the entrepreneurial environment, both local and global online, but also local physically. And this is what people are doing. And because it's, let's face it, it's crazy scary. It's scary to start out on your own without any clients, without any idea how you're going to get them.
Right.
Even if you know digital marketing. That's the funny thing, right? So the good thing is I was so lucky that my first client I got, I think even like on the day or the day before I got fired or let go because I wasn't fired because of something I did, right? Mm-hmm. I got her the day before I was let go by simply seeing her ad on Facebook, and I sent her a private message to her company on Facebook saying, hey, by the way, you forgot this text, so Facebook autofills this text.
Right.
And yeah, that was just that. And I did not do it because I hoped to get her as a client, because I did not need clients at that time even. Mm-hmm. I just did that because I thought like, okay, so this is, you could see it was a solopreneur, somebody not really sure about apps. So just wanted to help her, and it would take me 2 minutes to write her, and that will make a difference for her.
Right.
So, yeah. And so she messaged me the next day, I think an hour after I got the message that the company was closing, about, oh, by the way, I'm looking for somebody who can help me. Is that you? You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was completely random.
It's funny how some things just sort of happen, but that sounds great. So, Stasha, I follow you on Facebook, and I see your content, which is really great, and it's very email-focused, as we know. So
yeah.
You said that first year, I mean, we all do make that mistake. We try, we search too broadly, we take on anyone. How did you go from kind of more general digital marketing to the email marketing niche?
Yeah. So to be honest, I started working with a business coach, and she said, you need to stop doing everything. Just focus on this one thing. I actually helped her with email marketing because I did not have any money to invest in my own business at that time. Or right. I thought I did not have, because I always think it's a choice, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can always, you know, you can always have one less cafe visit or one less pizza or one, you know, like don't go out one weekend and you already have around, in Denmark at least, $100 because it's crazy expensive in Denmark. Yeah, so basically I did not think I could invest in my business at this point. So she offered me a deal of where I help her with email marketing, and she will invite me to one of her paid programs.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, after I helped her with that, she told me that, what are you doing? Why are you doing Facebook ads and social media and everything? And you should just be doing emails. And suddenly, it also started to be crazy, crazy clear to me that this is what I should be doing. This is what I think is fun. I'm good at it. It comes easy to me most of the time. And you know what? My content got much easier to make because suddenly I did not have to write about Facebook ads, social media marketing, you know, like whatever. I just had to write about email marketing.
Right. Yeah, that's so important in any line of work. As soon as you just narrow down to the thing that you're really good at or that you like the most, it makes the days so much smoother and enjoyable. Did you notice pretty quickly, like, was there a shift in your day-to-day or in your clients or revenue when you made that switch?
Yeah, there was a shift, but mostly for clients for other things, because this is, you know, how it is. the second you decide I'm not doing all of these things, people are coming to you and saying, I want all of these things.
Right.
Just in the beginning, right? And yeah, so basically I also did some collaboration with people so I could not just lose those leads, but refer them to somebody or say, okay, I'll do it for you and then like manage it on a like managerial level and then just outsource it. Right. So to be completely honest, I'm still doing a little bit of general digital marketing here in Denmark, but I did not do anything to get those clients. Those are people who kind of came to me naturally. So, right. Yeah. But right. Yeah, the good thing is what I've noticed is that people, I got a lot of referrals suddenly because, you know what, my network actually suddenly knew what I was doing.
Right.
And I also started to get more high ticket clients because you know what, and I also noticed this myself lately that you know, you always see people asking in different groups like, oh, I'm searching for a person to do this and I'm searching for a person to do that, and I always look through because I'm always kind of also searching for different mm-hmm. profiles, different people. And there are those people who link to a page where they can do basically anything. Oh, by the way, I'm doing Facebook ads and I'm doing this and I'm doing Google and I'm doing this and email marketing. I would right. personally never hire a person who does five things to do one thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's partly psychological too, right?
Yeah, but also I know myself how good you can get at five things at a time. Not very good, right?
Right.
But how good you can get at one or two things. You right. can be like pretty professional, pretty like expert, I would say on an expert level. So you can either have a person who does five things to do this one thing, or you can find a person who decided to really specialize in this one thing. And I actually right. myself started to only hire people who are specialists in their field.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So once you said, okay, this is going to be my one specialty, what was your plan? Like, what was your plan of attack? Did you start? Because I know now I see a lot of posts on Facebook. You have your new challenge, which we can discuss as well. But how did you hit the ground running? What was your action plan? Like, if someone was going to start any type of, you know, specialized service like this tomorrow, what would you recommend or how did you do it?
Yeah, so one of the things I absolutely loved my other coach told me to do is to create 30 days of content. That's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. 30 days of content. Basically saying, okay, I need to create one piece of content every single day on this specific topic. And for me, it was basically email. I think it's called Explode Your Sales with Email Marketing. I'm still doing it. And you know what? I wish I could say that every single day I was super consistent. Every single day it did not. But to be honest, people didn't really notice. I think nobody said, oh my gosh, you missed day seven. Why are you doing day seven on day nine today or something like that, right? Life happens. It's okay. I also have clients to take care of, so I can't always be present online. But again, something I really want to get through out there to people is that you're probably doing much better than you think yourself. Because even the days where I feel I'm not consistent with my content, people are writing to me and saying, I'm so like, it's an inspiration how consistent you are with your content. And I was sitting there thinking, what?
Right. Well it's funny what you say, and it's so true about how if you miss one day out of 30 or like one day out of seven, it seems like a, you know, monumental to you, but what we forget is that other people are living their own lives, right? Like, I'm not waking up and thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm going to see a post from Stasha this morning. No offense, but you know what I mean? Like, nobody's...
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying to my clients. And that's something we need to really think about it. Because we're always thinking, oh my gosh, if I put this offer out and nobody buys, people will think I'm a failure and they will know. They won't know. They won't know if you put out the next offer the day after with something else. They won't know if you just had the most successful launch in your life, and you're like have such a strong team behind you that you just can go ahead and create a new offer the day after, or it was a flop. Nobody really knows and nobody really cares in the end.
Right.
So yeah, we need to stop thinking what if and just starting doing. So if you miss one day of content or something like is not perfect, because this is, we need to take the pressure out of, like, we need to just like chill. Nobody mm-hmm. is going to cry if you don't post this one day. And as you said, nobody is getting up in the morning thinking, oh, I'm just going to have this post. No, right. They really don't care. They're just happy you're there when you are. But if you're not there one day or 2 days, honestly, that's okay.
Right. So let's say somebody has their niche picked out, their specialty, they want to get started. What do you recommend they even do to create their content plan? Like, let's say they have no experience, because it was great that you had all this experience with email marketing and social media, because you can then use those tools for your own marketing, right? But let's say somebody wants to provide financial services, let's say, for, you know, some niche, like, you know, retirees, investment info for retirees, but they don't necessarily have experience in digital marketing and creating content. How would you recommend that they put together a content plan to get started?
I love that you picked out such a good niche. Like, I know it's just, you know, as an example, but really good. Basically, I have created a worksheet that they can get access to. And yeah, not to toot my own horn, but this is the one I'm using for myself. I'm using it for my clients. And it was not even supposed to be a content-based worksheet. But once I got through it, and every time I go through it, whether it's for myself or for my client, this is the one I'm using both when I'm doing social media, back when I did social media, and also when I do email marketing. So basically, this is a list of questions. I think they're around 30. I know it's a lot. but it's questions that really get you thinking about things. Those are questions like, for example, we go through, it's important to look at what are their dreams, because a lot of people there are selling drills, right? But we don't want to sell drills because nobody wants to buy a drill. People want to buy a hole.
Right.
So the same is, people don't want to buy vacuum cleaners. They want to buy a clean house. Right. Because let's face it, vacuum cleaners are not very pretty.
Right. So, and this kind of relates back to what you were saying about when you were learning how to write emails is thinking about the customer, right, and their journey and what their needs and wants are.
Yeah, because in the end, nobody, like, whatever we're offering, your customer does not want that. They just want the result of it. So people don't want financial guidance or financial advisor. I know you might be a super awesome person as financial advisor, but let's face it, nobody wants to pay you $200 or $300 an hour just to chit-chat with you. They want security in the future. They want to sleep at night knowing that their financial funds are okay, or they're growing, you know?
Right.
So, and this is what I go through. This is something I merged from, I think, 10 other worksheets. You know, I think we all know about the ideal client persona or avatar, we'll call it what you want, because this is what everybody's talking about. And that's because it's working. You need to do this groundwork. The good thing is, as soon as you've done it, you have like at least 30 really good content ideas
right.
for what to write about. And always think that something that is super obvious for you is never obvious for your client, ideal client.
Right, right.
So yeah. Don't be afraid to step down like 1, 2, 3 steps back and saying something super, super obvious, because it won't be obvious for your audience.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Stasha, this has been really great. I want to finish with, do you have any specific advice for people who might be struggling with their email campaigns or email content right now on any like Stasha secrets to writing good emails?
Well, there's a lot that I can possibly cover it in this episode.
Right.
Because there are a lot of things. Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So I have an online group, a Facebook group for people who want to know how to implement marketing. We talk all email marketing, both technical parts, funnels, sometimes even ads, freebies, the writing skills. So basically, I try to listen to what people in there are saying, and I do online trainings for that in the group. So if you're interested in joining it, it's called Email Mastery Academy.
Okay,
and
great.
This is also how you can find me, because my name is really difficult to spell, I guess. So, yeah.
We'll provide a link to that and your full name properly spelled out in the description.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yeah. And if you do end up following Stasha, she does have some pretty cool Facebook posts on email content campaigns and stuff like that.
Basically I have both my personal and, you know, business profile, but for now I'm mostly using my personal profile on Facebook. So just connect with me, write me an inbox message saying that this is where you heard from me, because I have a lot of connections and some people are just there to spam. That's not what I want, right? I want to connect with awesome people. So yeah.
Right. Great. And do you have any last advice for people who are working maybe a 9-to-5 and they're looking to do something like you're doing, like go out on their own, or even just start learning about a skill like email marketing so that they could eventually go out on their own? Do you have like any two or three pieces of advice you would give to those people?
Yeah. One is start growing your list. Obviously, even if you don't have anything to sell now, I know a couple of people who started just like giving value, just growing the list. The good thing is that this is something you always have, you know. No matter how crazy algorithms are, no matter, email is also seen as the oldest social media, because it's always been there. So the chances of it still being there once you want to email your people, it's amazing. So yeah, start growing your list. If you're interested in that, I am actually doing a challenge in my group this week, but it's going to be an evergreen challenge. So for people who are listening, not in real time, just hit the group and you'll find the challenge as well. And we will be building the structure around the freebie you can give, because asking people to just sign up with you, it will not have conversion rates.
Right.
So just asking people, hey, get on my email list, it will work a little bit, but you won't get everybody. So what you need is to give a free resource to them to start growing this list, start connecting to people. And that's like the cheapest thing you can do for your, to be honest, the cheapest, easiest thing you can do for your business starting out, because it almost does not take any money to do that, right? You can basically do it for free. And there are a lot of free services out there to collect emails, to send out your freebies. There are free ways to create a freebie. So basically, it only costs you your time.
Right. That's great stuff. Awesome, Stasha. Do you want to maybe just plug your stuff once more while we now that we're at the end here?
In which way? Sorry, plug.
No, just if you want to throw out the Facebook group name or your Facebook name again.
So ways to connect with me is my personal profile called Stasha Petrova. There's also one called Stasha Petrova Email Marketing Queen, I think. Yes, I did that. Suddenly people started calling me that, and I was like, hell, I will call it myself as well.
Yeah.
And there is the most important resource is Email Mastery Academy, because I'm focusing a lot on that one right now. Mm-hmm. It's something that can be much bigger than my personal profile, you know, and it's also more intimate space to be. So yeah, go there and join us and ask any questions you have. If you need more help with the freebie creation, we will be doing a challenge, but I'm still there. I think the last question somebody asked me is about like, how do I get people to click more on my email? or if somebody still has this 9-to-5 and wants to know, hey, how can I start this without spending hours and hours and hours on this? Yeah. Right.
Okay, great. Sounds like there's a lot of value in there. Stash, I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, bye.
Hey everyone, Josh checking in. Just one more time, wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.